We're going to continue our series that we have started, Face to Face. Last week, who did we talk about? John what? John who? The Revelator, the Apostle, the Disciple. Yes, we talked about not John the Baptist, even though I probably messed up a couple times and called him John the Baptist. I think one time I called him Peter. So you're going to have to listen to the whole message. There's no telling who I'll call whoever else. But he had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. And so I'm excited about this morning. We've just had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord here this morning. Oh, and can I just say this? Yes, it's important to have the initial face-to-face encounter with the Lord, giving our lives to Jesus. But we must, if we're going to grow as disciples, if we're going to grow as apostles, if we're going to grow as children of God, we must continue to have face-to-face encounters with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We must continue in our walk and in our path with the Lord. And so this morning we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had one of the first face-to-face encounters. Joseph may have been the first. I'm not sure who was, you know, on the delivering end, there. And so I have no idea who caught Jesus. But maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know the medical, how the custom was back then. But somebody, Mary, was probably spending in the first seconds the longest amount of time encounter with Jesus. And so, you know, Mary said something that was so powerful. And I look back to and think about constantly. And then, never goes far from my mind, and we're going back to the wedding where Jesus turned the water into wine. What did she tell them? Do whatever he says. And so whatever he says, I mean, that is powerful. You want miracles in your life? Just do whatever he says. No matter if you understand it, no matter if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. Can you imagine the servants who were told to take ceremonial cleaning pots? Cleaning pots. I'm going to serve cleaning pot water to the guest at a wedding. Well, this is going to go over big, but at least I can blame it on somebody else. Fill up a ceremonial washing station. Yeah, let's do that. People are thirsty. Let's do that. Didn't make sense at all. And sometimes God tells us to do things that absolutely make sense. And then it's easy to do something on that line or something we expect him to do or something he's always told us to do. Bless that person. Oh, I can do that. I've done that a million times before. So we obey. Or maybe he says, throw down your nets, and that's uncomfortable. So we only throw down one net, and then the boat begins to sink and we're having trouble pulling in the net, and it begins to break because we're off balance because we didn't do exactly what he said. If it makes sense or whether it doesn't make sense, we should obey and listen to what Mary said, a great revelation. Do whatever he says. And so Luke chapter 2, we're not going to go there. Y'all are going to go to John chapter 2. But Luke chapter 2 tells us that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be dedicated or to be blessed to the temple. And the high priest Simon came and blessed the baby, blessed Jesus. And he basically stated, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. Now, he is going to cause many to rise and many to fall in Israel. And they will be against him. And then he looks at Mary and says, Mary, a sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. And I want to notice something. He didn't say it to Joseph. He only said that to Mary. Now, if I have this right, in the Roman Empire, the average age of a male lifespan was 28 years old. That was the average age in the Roman Empire. So what that means is those that were not Roman didn't live that long because they did the harder work. They were enslaved. They were the ones that were oppressed. But the average Roman citizen lived to be 28 years old. And so it is believed by most scholars that Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, died in his teenage years. We don't know how long Joseph lived. We have no idea. But most scholars absolutely all agree that he was not around when Jesus was 30. But at the beginning of his ministry, because we have no record of anywhere Joseph being around. The last record we have of Joseph being around, Jesus was 12 years old and they were going to celebrate the Passover feast. That is the last time we have record of Joseph. So between now and whatever time Joseph passed away. And so Joseph was not around. Maybe your dad wasn't around. Well, you have something in common with Jesus. Let me just say this. We have a lot of things that we face that we can blame a lot of situations on. I'm this way because of this. I think this way because of this. I am this way because of this. My culture, my environment. Can I tell you something? I came from a culture that I don't know if any of you have experienced. I will tell you one thing. It was fun. It was big trucks. It was big tires. It was mud swamping. It was shooting up. Not, wait, let me rephrase that. That sounded bad. That sounded bad. I don't mean shooting up. I mean shooting boom up, you know. We had shotguns and rifles in the windows. It was just common practice. I remember going to high school, and I remember the announcement being all the time, please, students, do not bring your guns to school. If they are in your truck, they are on school property. If you parked in the parking lot, we will give you 10 minutes to get to the parking lot and move your truck across the road so that you can be in compliance with school rules about not bringing your guns to school. Thank you very much. Teachers, would you please excuse some students for about 10 minutes? And so I'd go move my truck whether I had them in or not, just so I could get out of class. And so you would see the high school parking lot kind of empty, and then along the side of the other side of the road, a bunch of trucks parked over there. And so I just remember driving in the woods anytime we wanted to. Really, Rod was in the back of the truck. You went fishing, you went swimming, you did what you want when you want. You started a fire in the woods anytime you wanted to. My father calls me a reformed redneck. I enjoyed that life. It was a lot of fun. I got to do things that I would never be able to do today, and that most parents would go to prison for if their kids was doing today. But I got to enjoy that, very thankful, and I can point to some mentalities, some mindsets that should have caused me to never make it where I am today, should cause me to never go any further than I am right now. But thank God we don't let mindsets dictate our future or our destiny that God has put on us. God can break through mindsets. God can break through culture. God can break through any mountain that is put in your way, because He is the great I Am, the head creator of heaven and earth. If He can move a mountain, He can move your mindset. And so all we've got to do is change our mindsets, but that comes from God's Word. Now, John chapter 2, have you made it there? Nikki, I enjoyed you reading so much. I'm going to do it again. And you even got hard names right. Good Lord. That was fantastic. I want you to read through, let's see here, John chapter 2. And we're going to go from 1 all the way down to 10. If you'll read that for me, I appreciate that.
And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, and was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth say forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But thou hast kept in the good wine until now.
Now, I know that we are charismatic, non-denominational. Let me think what other words people give us. Anybody have any? What else do they call us? I'm not going to use that one. I don't like that one. Pentecostal. They call us Pentecostal. Charismatic. Spirit-filled. Holy rollers. These are all ones that I'm okay with. Let me think. Free evangelical. I like that one too. I remember when I was young and I heard that one, I had to look it up. I didn't even know what it meant. And so they call us all these things. And as good Pentecostal, charismatic, free evangelical, Zionist, whatever you want to call us, non-denominational, we're not supposed to talk about wine. It's very interesting, but it's in the Bible, so we're going to discuss it here. And so they ran out of wine. Now, I want to get back to some historical events that we don't have in the Bible. We talked about this last time. There are some historical events that we can go to and look at. Now, I'm not asking you to take this as absolute word of God, but we look at these events and we can go back to them, look at them, and see in history how they play out. And one of the things that some theologians believe is that this wedding that Jesus is at could possibly be the Apostle John's wedding. Now, there are some people who would say, this is one of the biggest questions, well, if it is his wedding and he's writing about it, why doesn't he say, Jesus was at my wedding? But if you look at John, John really doesn't talk about himself, you know, like, I was traveling with Jesus. He always talks about himself in the third person, the disciple that Jesus loved. He didn't say, I am the disciple as Jesus loved. When he writes a lot, when you read his writings, it's a lot in the third person. And so, but now if this was not John the Apostle's wedding, most theologians do agree that it was a family member's wedding, and that's the whole reason that Mary was there. Now, we do know that John's mother was Salome, yes, and some people pronounce her name Salome, and if you're in the South, Salami, but you know, there's people who pronounce her name different ways, but she was the sister of Mary, and that would make John the cousin of Jesus, the Apostle John, the cousin of Jesus. And so, you know, it's kind of awesome. He had, in his ministry, he had family working with him, and that's kind of fun in some levels not, but it's kind of fun to have your family working side by side with you. Can I tell you just this cute story that has absolute nothing to do with whatever we're doing? I haven't even told Jesse this. Jesse's telling me time because we've already gone so long. But I want to tell, this bless my heart. I was taking Ellie to school, and I'll tell you something. In the beginning, I didn't want to take Ellie to school because I'm busy. I got stuff to do. But once I started doing it, oh my gosh, do I love it, and I don't want to give it back. I enjoy that drive, and we just talk. And I love talking with her in the mornings. And on the way to school, she asked me, she said, Daddy, she said, you talked about praying for who's supposed to take the church next. And I said, yeah, and it just kind of, it surprised me because I'm like, where is this coming from? And I'm like, yeah, baby, I already am. I want to do it gracefully. I want to know when it's time. I don't want to be a burden. I want to be a blessing. And I am praying about it. She says, Daddy, does the church vote on that? I'm like, well, I don't know, honey. We haven't even got there yet. I said, you know, and she says, I don't want them to vote. And I said, why, baby? And she says, because I want it. And she said, I just don't want anyone to vote yes or no. She said, because it might hurt my feelings if I see people vote and some say no. And I said, baby, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We got a long time. But that just blessed me. And, you know, honestly, it would bless my heart to see one of my kids. But, you know, it's whatever is the will of God. I know my kids will be in some type of ministry, as you all are in some type of ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. They're going to be in the body of Christ. They're going to be helping the body of Christ. They're going to be volunteering. They're going to be involved. I know that with everything in me, what position they're going to take. I got some ideas. Some of them, I mean, not just, you know, personally, and this can change, you know, I'm not set on anything, but I just look at Ellie and be like, you would make a great missionary. You love to travel. You love hotels. And she's already, this was so beautiful. This morning she said, Daddy, can I bring this much money to church to give? And it was a little more than she normally does. I said, yeah, baby, you can. She says, good. Because I want to give to India. I'm hearing about the kids over there, and I want to bless them. And she said, and one day, Daddy, can we go see them? I said, baby, I would love to go see them. And they'll be so thankful for, you know, that extra 75 cent that you gave them. It was super cute. And so, you know, and there's certain things I can see, Lucy, and you can look at your kids and think, wow, what will they be doing? And so Jesus had family members in the ministry with him. Now, at this wedding, we have the mother, Mary, she's there. We have the brother, James. He is there. We have Jesus there. We have John there, we know for sure. We don't know in what capacity he was there, but all the disciples were invited. Like I said, most theologians absolutely agree that this was a family member's wedding, and that's the whole reason that Mary was involved in the first place. And let me explain some things about weddings in the day of Jesus that is different than our day. That's the first time I looked at my clock, and we are already out of time. Let's turn it upside down. Don't get worried. See, three or four of you are happy. The rest of you are nervous. I'm going to be shutting this down very, very soon. But the Jewish wedding lasted. How many of you used to be Catholic? And I'm not talking about kind of Catholic. I'm talking about dedicated Catholic. You went all the time. Okay, I see you. When I first moved up here, I thought your weddings were insane. I'm like, why in the world would you stick around for 3 days? That's ridiculous. That is insane. Opening presents, people sticking around. I mean, no. Where I came from, weddings were 15, 30 minutes long. And you were lucky. You were lucky if the bride and groom even showed up. No, not to the wedding, but the party afterwards. They would probably, I have a theory on it. I do absolutely have a theory on why our weddings were shorter, because we waited. We waited. We were just ready to get out. Normally, they're like, well, thank y'all for coming to the Sadler Lingenfelt wedding. There is a bag sandwich and apple and chips in the back. Take that as a parting gift. God bless you. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. They're going on their honeymoon. God bless. And the church has opened up the fellowship hall. There'll be some music and y'all can eat back there. But the couple is leaving. But they didn't have honeymoons. That's one of the saddest things I think I've ever heard. And so we didn't stick around. That was not my culture. And I remember when we were planning our wedding and Jesse was telling me, no. And then she told me that we had to give gifts to people that showed up. I'm like, excuse me, it's not their wedding. The gift is they get to eat. That's their gift, is I am paying for their plate of food. What do you mean they take something else home? And she had to even explain that to me at birthday parties up here. Oh, I'm sorry, little kid. She's like, well, kids get hurt and upset. Well, they got to someday. Well, they get upset that they don't open presents. Well, whoop-de-doo. It ain't their birthday. What in the world are we thinking? But, there was a huge culture shock. That was not a part of how I grew up. Now, I understand that I may be archaic in some things, but that's all right. But the Jewish tradition was 7 to 8 days, no honeymoon. They treated the bride and groom like kings and queens. It was a humongous feast. They had wine. Now, when they ran out of wine, what day was it? Anyone? Third day, they had some more, they had a lot more days to go on, and it would have been a huge humiliation that the families, they took off work. They would travel great distances to get there for weddings, and they didn't have an air-conditioned vehicle. They didn't have, they either walked, camels, donkeys, whatever they had. They got there, and they would take a lot of time off. They would have to spend their own money to stay at a place. They would have this huge celebration. And Mary, this is interesting, she got involved in this wedding. And the reason she got involved was because it was family. Now, have you ever thought about this? Why did she go to Jesus? Why did she even go to Jesus? Of course she knew who he was. Yeah, she knew he was the Son of God. She knew he had a face of faith. But can I tell you something? I do believe Mary questioned every once in a while. I'm sure she did. I mean, this is a little baby that she's having to change diapers. The Son of God is pooping his pants? You might think that's blasphemous, but that happened. Because, the first time I'd have to change a diaper, I'd be like, hey, Jesus. Now, I know you're gooing and gone here and all this kind of stuff, but you're the Son of God. It says in the beginning, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created the earth. Change your own diaper. Be like, I've already done this. I'm done. Change your own diaper. But I'm sure she questioned. When Jesus was preaching one time, she told her son, James, go get Jesus. Go get him. I believe it was because he was saying things so radical as the Son of God that she thought maybe something's up. I don't know. But we need to calm this boy down. And she sent for me. That's just my thinking. That's my process in it. I'm not saying that's absolute. And I'm going to say some things that are not doctrine. I'll try to point them out, the thought processes, and I'm not trying to start a new doctrine. But I believe she went to Jesus. Yes, she knew he was the Son of God. Yes, she knew he was the Savior. But I think she started noticing things. I think she started noticing some things. He's getting closer. In the same way Jesus began to operate in his gifting is the same way we operate in ours. He was humanity. He was humanity. And he had to face the same things we do, the same thought processes that we face. And so he had to work in his gifting the same way you, and all of you work in your giftings. And so you do it once and ha, 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 this is working. I like this. And we do it again. And as we continue, Dr. Ripshin made the statement, as we, you know, if we're on a small road, we can make a bigger road. If we're on this, we can get a bullet train, you know, all this kind of stuff. The more we operate in it, in our giftings, the quicker it is to connect. The more we, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I thought everybody prayed like I did. I thought everybody got the same thing, got a prayer that I did. I didn't really, you know, prayer is something that runs in my family. I have intercessors in my family. My great-grandmother, Moore, was a intercessor. My mom, oh my Lord, that woman taught me how to pray. She pinpoints details in prayers of things that are going on. And that she just blew me out of the water. And I'm like, teach me how to do this. And I thought everybody experienced the same way until one day I was talking to a family. I said, hey, do you get the same thing out of this that I do? And they said, well, no, it's a little harder for me. It's harder for me to get there. You get there quick. It's a little harder for me. It was just a gifting, but we can all get there. We can all get there. We're all called to pray, whether you're an intercessor. Well, I'm not an intercessor, so I don't go to pray. No, you're called to pray. Everybody in here is called to pray. And so we are all prayers, but some of us have a gifting in it that some of us don't. And that's fine. I got giftings you don't have. You have giftings I don't have. We all need the giftings working together. But I believe Mary started noticing things. I'll give some examples. Again, I am not saying this happened. I actually believe it didn't happen. But it makes me laugh, and it's my thought process. I could see Mary walking into the backyard. Jesus, come here, Jesus. Come here. I notice that there is a fire by the camp you built. How'd you start the fire? Well, I called it down from heaven. Jesus, how many times have I told you this? If you're going to call fire down from heaven, talk to me first. I need to be around to make sure the fire doesn't get out of hand. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Jesus, come here. Come here. Yes, mama. Jesus, I'm going to need you to swim with the rest of the children and stop walking on the water. Yes, ma'am. I believe it may have not have been that dramatic. I don't know. But I believe the reason Mary went to Jesus was because she started to notice him walking in his giftings. I believe she started to notice her son doing things that were supernatural. I believe she had a reason, she had hope, she had a foundation to stand on that wasn't just out of the mist one day. She didn't go 30 years and all of a sudden say, all right, it's time for you to manifest the Son of God. I was prophesied to 30 years ago by an angel that you are the Son of God. You would deliver his people and we are out of wine. Now, do something. I don't believe that's how it happened. I believe she started to notice his giftings manifesting. So she goes to Jesus. She has, Jesus, come here. Yes, ma'am. Because he was a good southerner. Southern Galilee. He was from the south parts of Galilee. And so he said, yes, ma'am, every time he approached his mama. And he said, yes, ma'am, what can I do? He says, now look, we're out of wine. I need you to do something about it. And I love this. Now, he would have got slapped in my house. But he said, woman. Oh. I talked to my mama one time and said, woman. And I mean, she her shoulders went out. And she said, excuse me, young man. And I just looked at her immediately and said, Jesus said it to his mama. That's exactly what I told my mama. I said, Jesus said it to his mama. And she stopped for a second. I saw her eyes move to the back of her head. And she said, and it'll be the last time you speak to me like that. And I could see, you know, Jesus comes to Mary. And he says, but it's not my time. It's not my time yet. I think he's still in practice mode. I still think he is learning how to flow in the giftings. But it's working for him. It's working for him. He's starting to see the gifting flowing in his own life. And Mary says, I hear you. I hear you, boy. Servants, hey, guys that are working the wedding, listen and do whatever he says. And I can see in her own mind, honor your mother. How you gonna get out of this, son of God? Honor your mama. I think she thought, he's gonna have to do this because he's gonna have to obey the word. He's gonna have to obey the word. And so Jesus tells them to fill up the ceremonial pots. Fill it up. She said to the servants, do whatever he says. I'm ending with this. Do whatever he says. Now the ceremonial pots, I believe, represent dead religious mentalities, ideas, and ways of doing things. Because before you came into the room, you had to wash and you had to be cleansed. Every time before you ate, you had to wash your hands. I think that's a great idea, but it does not make you spiritually holy. It does not affect you spiritually. It affects the outside, but it affects nothing on the inside. And Jesus is taking a ceremonial pot that affects the outside, and he's putting something on the inside of it and causing life, something to change, to transform on the inside. And so I think the whole purpose, and I want to point this out. We'll talk more about Mary next Sunday. But I think the whole purpose of saving this miracle. Think about it. Why was this the first miracle of Jesus? Why wasn't it more spectacular? Why was it not his first miracle feeding the 5,000? That would have been a big deal. Natural circumstances, that looks like a bigger deal. Why didn't he walk on water and appear to everybody? Why didn't he do some of the other miracles first? How about healing the sick? How about doing these things to be the first one that we have record of? Why this? He saved a family from embarrassment. And to me, that speaks volumes. That God would get involved in something that, yes, people would talk about. Yes, people would probably remember for a while. But it wouldn't go forever. They would get over it. It's not something huge that will just absolutely damper them for the rest of their life. But his first miracle was to get involved in something so simple to just divert embarrassment for a family. What you're dealing with, and I have been guilty of this myself, is looking at what I'm dealing with and blowing it off by saying, well, other people have bigger problems. You know, there's a lady in this church who would tell me when I would say that, she says, how your day going? Oh, good. You know, I'm facing some things, but you know, people dealing with a lot bigger problems than I am. And I remember the first day she looked at me and said, doesn't matter. Your problems are just as real as anybody else's. They may be different, but your problem, if it concerns you, it concerns God. In anything from a healing to wrong mindset to people injustice, whatever it may be, God has concern of that. But even if it's something so tiny that to most people doesn't really matter, God still is concerned. And he'll move the mountain, and he'll heal the sick, and he will feed the 5,000, and he'll take care of our jobs during government shutdowns. He will do all of this, and he'll save you from even a little embarrassment. We serve a great God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much for what you've already done. For this morning, from the work of the cross, to all the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. And Lord, we're all in different places. Our walk with you have taken us into many different directions. But we are all one body, working together for the same purpose. Redemption, righteousness, relationship. Loving people, loving God, and making disciples of Jesus Christ. So whether some of us are facing humongous mountains, some of us, we can't even see the way around the problem. We have no idea how we'll even get to the other side. Some of us are in the storms of our life. And God, you care. And you are there. And you are making a way. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you. We may not trust the situation, but we trust you. You will deliver us. And some of us may even be facing something so small, so tiny to us, and we look at what other people are going through. We say, in comparison, this is so minute. But God, we thank you that you care. That in our lives, our pots may be empty. We may have run out of substance, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional. But you are there. And you are changing the inside. Father, we are transforming into the image of your Son. You are working a miracle in our lives. We may have felt dead as ceremonial, religious theology and ideas. But God, you are breathing life on the inside of us. And we declare today we will never be the same. In Jesus' name. I want to ask this question. While everybody's head is bowed and eyes are closed, you may say this. Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm not saying you accepted Him as your Savior as a kid and now you've walked away like the prodigal son. I'm saying you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. If you say today, that's me, I want to. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you this morning. I'm looking over the audience. I want to ask this question. Maybe you say, like the prodigal son, you have walked away. But today, you feel the pulling of the Holy Spirit to come back to Him. Today is your day. If that's you, I'm not saying you ask for forgiveness and you're fine. I'm saying you've lived for a while outside of the presence of God. If that's you and you say, today I'm going to come back to the Lord, would you raise your hand? I'm looking over this audience right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over you right where you are. And then we're going to dismiss. If you have to leave, please do so respectfully. If you want prayer, come on down here. We'll have somebody ready to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody here. The blessing of God is on their life. I thank you. They are walking in your plan. They have a desire to please you. That's why they're here, Father. And God, you said that if we would ask, it would be open. If we would seek, we should find. If we knock, it would be open. If we ask, we should have it. And so God, I thank you right now where they are. We're asking for more of your glory. Change us, Father. We're satisfied in all that you've done. But our satisfaction also comes from knowing that you will not leave us here. And as Moses has said, if your glory doesn't go with us, then we don't want to go. So we are carriers of your glory. Show it to us. Fall down on our lives. Change us. If there's any mindsets, Father, that is a lie, remove it. Remove it. We give it to you. Show us. Right now, right where you are, ask the Father, if there is a lie I'm believing about you, if there is a lie in my life right now that I am believing about you, Father, show it to me. I believe some of you are getting that answer right now. So, Father, we ask right now, we give that lie to you. We give it to you. Take it. We don't want to be hindered in our thought process. And if that leaves a hole or a gaping place on the inside of us, if that lie has brought any demonic activity or spirits in our lives, we rebuke that right now and they must leave. And Father, you're filling us with the Holy Spirit. Any gap, any place in our life that may seem empty, you're filling it. And we will notice a freedom. We'll notice a peace that we didn't have. We thank you for it. As we leave this place, we do not leave your presence. You are with us. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. 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 Know that these altars are open. If you would like prayer, come on.